We are going to have Pastor Mambo come and share. We are going through the book of Daniel, and we are excited about Daniel chapter 3. This is this is one of the most popular stories in all the Bible, so you are in for a treat this morning. So, all right, I'll turn it over to Pastor Mambo.
Oh, I can breathe. Oh, how are you guys? Good morning. So good to see you guys this morning. And I'm especially happy to have the Denver Police with us, joining us. As you guys know, some of you probably know, I am a chaplain with the Denver Police. And I remember the first time I went to a roll call, I felt so intimidated. I was so scared. I was like, "Oh man, what am I doing here?" But that's one of the parts that I enjoy doing the most when it comes to serving this community, is to serve those who serve us. And it's an honor for us guys to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. We pray for you. We love you, and we're here for you. And thank you for being there for us as well. So. Let me start with a prayer. So is God the one who talks to us this morning, and is now Mambo. So it's him. All right, so let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you because you are seated on your throne. No matter what happens in this world, you are God. You are the rock. You care about our lives. And I pray that this morning you would speak to us, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that you would speak into our lives about who you are and who we are in you. We praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this past week, I felt very, very frustrated at God. I actually posted on Facebook. If we're Facebook friends, you probably saw that on Friday, I posted that I was having a very, very hard time, and that I was, that I would appreciate if people could pray for me. And I received a lot of very beautiful responses from friends and family and people. And the thing is that this past Friday, we found out that they found a tumor in my dad's colon. And my family lives in Mexico, except for my younger sister that lives in Phoenix. You know, we still don't know if it's cancerous or not. We're going to figure that out. And then the same morning, one of my very close family member was exposed to someone with COVID. So she's going to have to go and get tested again. She had already got tested, and it came back negative. So she has to go and get tested again because she was exposed to this person who got tested positive. And then the same morning, Denver Mayor Hancock came with a new order, right, that masks orders. And all of these news I got in the span of maybe 2 or 3 hours. And I just felt extremely frustrated and extremely overwhelmed. I just felt that I was not having a break. I felt that no matter how hard I try to serve God and to serve the community and to serve others, like, things keep coming my way and that I don't get a break. And if you guys know, I work under a religious visa, and I am in the process of getting my permanent residency, but because of COVID, that has taken a long time. So right now I cannot go to Mexico to see my family because I might not come back. And I just felt like God was being unfair to me. Why, if I work so hard, God, haven't you seen all the years of effort and sacrifices that I have made for you? And this is the way that you pay me back. Maybe some of you at some point in your lives have felt the same way. Maybe some of you are feeling that way right now. Maybe some of you are feeling like life is not fair. That no matter how hard you try, that life keeps throwing you curveballs that you were not prepared for. And life seems to be unfair, and God seems to be unfair. But you gotta go to school, and you gotta go to work, and you gotta go to church, and you have to wear your mask, that everything, literally now your mask, that everything is going well while you are struggling internally in your lives and in your hearts. So we struggle. And when we struggle, doubts start coming to our minds. When we struggle, we start doubting. The enemy comes to our minds and he starts putting lies about ourselves, about others, and about God. See, my boy, I told you that you couldn't count on God. I told you that he was going to abandon you in the middle of the trail. So we doubt. And when we doubt, we start conditioning God. We start making conditions to God. And we say, like, you know what, God? I will follow you only if you heal my dad. I will follow you if you give me the job that I want. I will follow you if you give me the perfect church that I need. I will follow you. If you give me the wife or husband that I want, I will follow you. You heal me, I will follow you. If you can give me money, I will follow you. If you allow me to go to this college that I want to go, I will follow you. If you give me my residency or my citizenship, I will follow you. If you cure my cancer, I will follow you. If you cure my loved one from the coronavirus, I will follow you. If you keep me safe, because when things get unsafe, I don't know about that. I don't know if I am willing to follow you when things are not safe, because being safe feels pretty good. So we start playing the Eve game with God. I will follow you only if you play by my rules and you give me what I want. And that's when I realized, and this past Friday and this weekend, that at the bottom of my heart, the frustration was coming because God was not playing by my rules. Because God was not doing the things that I had planned. Because he was not doing the things that I wanted to have control. And I didn't like that. And maybe you don't like that either. And maybe you feel or you have felt the same way during this pandemic, especially during this political climate, especially during these challenging times that we're living here in the States, and that other people who are watching us in other countries are living in their own countries. Well, Westside, we must understand that God is not subjected to us. God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we as Christians, we have been called to follow him no matter what the circumstances are. As Christians, we have been called to follow him no matter the circumstances that we are going through. No matter if our lives are in danger, no matter if our reputation is at stake, no matter the popularity, the position, whatever that we might have, no matter if all those things are in jeopardy, because God is a loving and faithful God, and He's always in control of our lives. Even when the present circumstances don't feel that way, don't make any sense, or even when we're going through pain in our lives. In the past 3 weeks, we started a new series about the book of Daniel. And that's one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. One is because that's my name. If you didn't know, my name is actually Josué Daniel, but everybody calls me Mambo. Okay? It's just a very beautiful name. So Daniel is one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. And Misha and Pastor David talk about chapter 1 and chapter 2. And today we're going to be talking about chapter 3. And this chapter actually don't talk about the life of Daniel. It's going to talk about the life of three of his friends who had to face life and death situations. They had to decide between the world and all of its pleasures, fame, money, popularity, position, or to literally die from what they believe was true, and that was God. They had to decide between following the king and his idols, or between following God. So let's dive into the chapter 3. So as you guys know, just to give you a little bit of context, Babylon, is that how you said? I have a hard time pronouncing Hebrew names in English. I have a hard time pronouncing Hebrew names in Spanish already. So Babylon used to be an empire. And what the Babylons, what do empires do? They conquer, right? So they had conquered the people of Israel. And one of the techniques that they had is that when they would conquer a country, they would take the smartest people in that country and they would take them back to Babylon, all right, to put them in positions that were key for the empire. So they brought the smartest people of those lands, of those countries that they would conquer, they would bring them to Babylon. So this is the case of Daniel and his three friends. They were deported, or I don't know how to say that, deported from their land, is that how you call it, to Babylon. They were brought. And so these are Jewish friends who are under the rule of one of the most powerful empires in human history. So, and what we know is that there is a king in this whole story. And his name is, it's so hard to say it, Nabucodonosor is in Spanish. And Nebuchadnezzar, I think, is in English. Nebuchadnezzar. I have it here in my notes. I wrote it 1,000 times. I'm still struggling. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was stubborn as a mule. Is that how you say it in English? Stubborn. This dude, he was powerful and he was stubborn. So what happens here in chapter 2 is that, as we saw and David already preached, is that Daniel became one of the kings, became actually the king's main advisor. Daniel was the ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and who was also in charge of all the wise men in the empire. And Daniel, in chapter 2, he had revealed to the king a dream that the king had, but that none of the wise men were able to tell what that dream was about. So God reveals to Daniel the dream. Daniel tells the king this dream, and the king makes Daniel pretty much the governor of the whole province of Babylon, okay? So this is the historical context. And also he makes Daniel's friends, three guys, makes also the governors of a province, of Providence, I think is that how you say it. I don't know how you say that. Of one, you know, territory of the empire. So that is a little bit one of the historical context. And what we know in chapter 2 is that after Daniel revealed the dream to the king, this is what the king said. This is chapter 2. We're going to talk today about chapter 3. This is what the king said at the end of chapter 2. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. So the king, you know, declares and acknowledges that Daniel's God was the real and true God. So what does the king do in chapter 3, just immediately after this? Well, it happens to happen that he ordered to make an image of gold that it was about 88 feet tall. And not only that, he commands all the people, all the nations, all the tribes of the empire to worship this golden image. And whoever wouldn't do that, they would die. And not only just be killed, they would be thrown out into a blazing furnace alive. So we see in chapter 3 that there are three friends that I was telling you about. Their names are, I don't know how to say them either, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to say in Spanish. This is not even English, so who cares? So these guys, these three friends, they decide that they're not gonna worship this golden image that the king had just ordered and made his people to worship. They actually decide that they would rather die than worshiping something else than the living and true God, the God who had just revealed to the king in chapter 2. Because for these guys, following God was not a matter of comfort. It was not a matter of position. It was not a matter of money or power, because it is very easy to worship God when we're comfortable. It is very easy to worship God when we're seated in the king's table, surrounded by luxury, surrounded by safety, surrounded by all the things that make us feel comfortable. But when life gets tough, when we have to make a decision to decide between what the world is suffering and what God wants from us, that's when life gets rough. And that's what I want us to reflect about today. Are we going to follow our idols or dreams or pleasures? Or are we willing to continue following the Lord, even when life gets tough and even when none of those dreams become a reality? Because let me tell you this, we live in a social media era, right? And if you just open any, almost any Instagram post, you're gonna read a lot about hashtag you can do everything, hashtag nothing is impossible, hashtag follow your dreams, hashtag conquering mountains, hashtag be strong, don't let anyone try to prove you the opposite of you, and blah, blah, blah. And all of those things, I want to give all these people, I've done it, you know, all these people the benefit of the doubt that they have good intentions in posting those type of things. But it's very easy for us to fall into their narrative and to believe that God has to act accordingly to that narrative. And I want to remind us today that these guys, they live they didn't live in a democracy. They live in a tyranny. If they refused to follow the king's commands, they would die. They didn't have freedom like the one that we have today. They couldn't call 911 and have the police officers come into their houses. They didn't have human rights. They didn't have freedom of religion. They didn't have freedom of speech. They didn't have the option of what career they were going to choose, what house they were going to buy, or they were going to eat Italian, Mexican, or Indian food today. They didn't have any of that. None of that. There was no hashtag nothing. It was hashtag slavery. Hashtag blazing furnace. That was their hashtag. None of the freedoms that you and I face today, that have today. None of that. And they still had to make a decision. Are we going to worship or idols, or are we gonna follow God no matter the price, no matter the circumstances? These guys were under the rule of one of the greatest empires in human history. So when these friends heard this order of worshiping the golden statue, they refused. And let's read what happened. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 17. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true? So the king found out that these guys didn't want to worship his statue. So this is the kind of like the interview that he's having. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So guess what happens next? They appeal the kings. No, there was no appealing. They get thrown out to the furnace, to the blazing furnace. And the king, the Bible says that the king was so angry that he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. It was so hot that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown out, the flames killed the soldiers who took them. It was literally a living hell. They threw them out wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes. So here they are, these friends, who are not willing to compromise because they knew the God that they worshiped. Because they knew that the God whom they worshiped had the power to save them. But even if he didn't, they were going to still continue to follow him. Even if they were going to get burned alive instead of worshiping something false. So I ask again, what are you worshiping? What are we worshiping? Sometimes those who work in ministry like me, we worship our churches. We worship the workplaces that we have. We worship our ministries instead of worshiping God. The ministries that we work for become our own gods instead of God himself. What are your idols? What are those things that you had to choose between them and God? What would you choose? And we're right now in an election time, and I don't say this in a mean way. I do not care who you're going to vote for. I don't care. You can vote for whatever you want. But who is more important, God or your political affiliation? And if you are from another country like me, who is more important, God or your nation? God or your family? God or your social status? God or your socioeconomics? God or your position? God or your privilege? God or your lack of privilege? Because sometimes even hardships, even having a hard time in life, can become our idols as well. And we can make that hard time the very identity of our beings. And we forget that God has given us freedom and that he has the ability and the power to get us through whatever hard time we go through. He has to be our number one identity, the core of who we are as Christians and as human beings. We are citizens of heaven, not of this earth. We do not belong to this world. We have called to fight for this world, to fight for justice, but we have been called not to love this world, not to put our identity in it. So we have to remember that God is powerful, but he's sovereign too. God is not our puppet. He's not a little buddy, whatever you say that. He's not a little friend. Hey, what's up, dude? He's not our WhatsApp dude. But he has given us that freedom to approach him because he has decided to. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the very air that we're breathing in right now is because he allows it. It's because he wants that. It's because he loves you and me. God has the power, but he's also sovereign. So even if the king sends us to this a blazing furnace, and God doesn't rescue us from it, we will continue worshiping him because God, he is our Father. God loves us. God wants the best for us. But sometimes we think that because God has given us complete access to him through Jesus Christ, that we have in some way that we can manipulate him. We can't. Like when I would ask my dad, like when I would go shopping with him and I would see some sneakers that I wanted and, you know, like he had a budget of $50 and then I would be like, hey, what about these ones that are $100? They look nicer, right? Like I would kind of like try to, you know, like encourage my dad to buy me better stuff. And sometimes he would and sometimes he wouldn't, right? But with God, it doesn't work that way. He gives us everything because he's good, because of his grace, not because we deserve those things. There's nothing you and I deserve. Nothing. Everything is being given by grace for God's glory because he loves us. And our circumstances don't determine God's love. So no matter what, we gotta continue following him. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't end in that blazing furnace. Because once they were thrown out, something incredible happened. In verses 24 to 28, we read this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads seen. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were," pay attention to this, "and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." When we are willing to go with God to the very last consequences, no matter what, God's name is always glorified. And in that process, he refined us. He refines our lives. And I'm going to ask the worship team to please come up. Are we willing to give up our lives rather than to serve or worship any god except the true and eternal God? And let me tell you, I don't know if you realize who is the main character in this whole story. Was it Nebuchadnezzar? Was it Daniel? Was it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It was God. God is the main character in this story. And God is the main character of your life, if you allow him to be so. He's the main character in my life. It is my prayer that this morning, for God to give us that whatever we're going through, he gives us the strength that only comes from him, that only comes when we have that intimate relationship with him, that it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, that it only comes through faith that comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God, because the world will always disappoint us. Will always, all relationships will never be at the expectation that we were thinking. Any job, any relationship, any church, especially our church, no, just kidding. Everything and everyone will always disappoint us at some extent. God will never, ever, ever disappoint us. Never. But we have to be faithful, because he will always have our backs. He will always love us, no matter what we do or what we don't. But we have been called to take our crosses and to follow Christ, because his path is the only one who takes us to the way, the truth, and the life that is Christ himself. And when we find Christ, we find everything.